I'm kind of excited about teaching this lesson. I'm not sure. Turn to Psalms chapter 43. We'll be looking at 43, 44, 45, and maybe 46. I'd like to get to 48, but I ain't going to make it because there's just too much material. I had to cut this lesson down a lot to get the points that I wanted to get in. The day's lesson today is called The Day of His Returning, O Glorious Day. And boy, is it going to be glorious. And I can't wait. The year 1964, whether you love him or you hate him, Dr. Ruckman said, back to the Bible or back to the jungle. People will live like devils if we don't get back to the Bible, and we'll start shooting each other. And lo and behold, every day they're talking more and more about people shooting each other. In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And we're going to look at some scriptures and we're going to get some understanding that you probably have never seen before. And if you already know this, praise God. But when you look at Psalms chapter 22, 23, 24, it takes you from the crucifixion to the Lord Jesus Christ coming through the Eastern Gate. Psalms chapter 43, verse 1. Let's pray. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, my blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, help me to get through this lesson. Help me to get those points that you've pointed out to me, Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, or some soul that's out of touch with you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that today will be their day of getting right, getting saved, and preparing for your coming. Blessed be your holy and righteous name, my blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you go from 43, it takes you from Jesus Christ. When you get to 48, it takes you all the way to eternity. So you're going to be looking at something that maybe you've never seen before or put together before. In Psalms chapter 43, verse 1 says, judge me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. We're all unjust people. We're all ungodly. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we're imputed righteousness. But what is an ungodly nation? We're seeing it today. We're seeing it all over the world. A nation that has accepted sodomy. The first time the people cry out to God in the Bible is found in the book of Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. And of course we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, how God took Lot and his family out, and then it rained fire and brimstone. And you see, if you go over to Israel today, you can see the fire and the brimstone and even the buildings, the structures that are still there that have turned to ash because it got so hot. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah that was so great? Was it their sodomy? Was it their perversions? The Bible says it's their pride. They were proud of their sins. And that's what we're seeing today. And I know I harp a lot about this, because this is what you need to be aware of. You need to make your children aware of it, even at an early age, because they start going after your children earlier and earlier. I'm tired of getting calls about, what do I do about my little girl? Or what do I do about my little boy? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Start teaching your children the right way. Amen. Early. Psalm chapter 47, verse 13 says, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gate, he hath blessed thy children within thee. Strengthen the walls, strengthen the bars, strengthen the gates, strengthen the windows. Be aware of what your children are watching. The times of great revival, they're all over. Don't expect it to happen. Don't listen to these charismatic preachers. And yes, this is a negative sermon, but you have to go through the negative to get to the positive. The harvest is almost here. The doors are almost shut. The devil knew how to destroy Israel. He knows how to destroy the United States. And the farther we get away from God's word, the more vulnerable we are. Amen. And we've gotten so far. We become a narcissistic society. It's all about me. It's all about me, myself, and I, and have it your way. And you deserve a break today. And that's the philosophy of this world. David, in the next verse, is writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only way. Psalms chapter 43, verse 2. For thou art the God of my strength, why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemies? David is writing here, why have you cast me off? Is he talking about himself? When I read this, I looked at it and I said, Lord, who is this? And then Psalms chapter 22, verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the helping of my roaring? I said, this is about you, Lord. 43:3 confirmed it. O send out thy light and thy truth. Who is light? Light is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And we're seeing that all the time. Let them lead me, verse 43. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill. There's only one that can go to that holy hill. And to thy tabernacle, there's only one. It's not me, it's not you, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 7, truth. What is truth? Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Psalms chapter 43, verse 4. Then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. And I looked at that and I go, well, that's Psalms chapter 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend to thy holy hill, O Lord? Or who shall stand in thy holy place? He that hath a clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up thy soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that should thrill everyone's soul, the fact that Jesus Christ redeemed us. And when we get into this a little bit, and I hope we make it, when you see what Jesus Christ did for you and what he has planned for you in eternity, you'll say, why me, Lord? The cross again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for his health and his countenance and my God. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He paid for the price of sinners. Psalms chapter 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. What Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, we'll never know. Maybe in eternity. Now we're going to get into Psalms chapter 44. We've seen the redemption. Now we're going to get into the history of Israel. And we're going to look at this, and it takes you from the Exodus all the way to the tribulational period. But the next chapter is the most exciting. And we'll get there real quick. Psalms chapter 44, verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days and in the times of old. Every Jewish little boy during Seder is reminded about the Exodus. They're told the story of the Exodus. So they're reminded year after year what God has done for them. How thou didst drive them out, the heathen, with thy hand, and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. How they got not the land in possession by their own hands, neither did their own arms save them, but by the right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. This is not talking about the future. This is talking about Joshua going into the land and God stepping up to the plate. And you'll find this in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It says, a man approaches him with a drawn sword. And Joshua says, whose side are you on? And he says, I'm on the Lord's side. And I'm captain of the heavenly host. And I've come down to help you. And Joshua fell on his face and worshipped him. And the Jews didn't take the promised land by themselves. They took it through God's power. And that's what the church needs to understand. That it's not by our power. None of us can do anything. It's all God. Everything is God. This whole book is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to put Jesus Christ first. Now the present blessing, when you get down to verse 5, it says, Psalms chapter 5, or 44, verse 5, says, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will I tread under them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and pushed them to shame that hate us. David is saying here, and it's David's kingdom he's talking about right now, because David's kingdom was the largest kingdom that Israel had ever had. It stretched all the way up to the Euphrates River above Lebanon, all the way down to the Nile, and it stretched outward. And Israel was blessed when David was king. But like all men, when tested, they fail. The next verse, verse 8, it says, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. And I've taught here before that word Selah means Petra. When you see the armies coming into Israel, flee to Petra. He's got a place for you. And you can check this out yourself. I mean, most people say, well, just meditate on these things. But you do the word search yourself. You do the study, and you'll find out that Petra has a lot more meaning than just meditate on these things. It means flee to Petra. It's found 75 times in the Bible. Most time when you see this word, look at what you're reading, and you know that the next verse is going to go like this. It's going to go from negative to positive, or positive to negative. Psalm chapter 44, verse 9 says, but thou hast cast off and put us to shame. Here we go. We're going to the negative. And goest not forth with our enemies, our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, hast scattered us among the heathens. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn, a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathens, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me, for the voice of him that reproacheth and blaspheme by reason of the enemies and avengers. This is the time from Babylon all the way to now and into the tribulation. Why did this happen? Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 18 says, I will persecute them with the sword and with famine and pestilence, will deliver them and to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations, whether I driven them. Why did God do this? Why did God do that to the Jews? Why didn't he just have a big charismatic preacher get up there and bring him to repentance? Why did he do it? One reason. Jeremiah chapter 29, the next verse, 19. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. The same thing is happening today with this book. People don't want to hear it. I'll get you one that reads better, the one that reads the way you want it to read. Don't choose the Word of God to read. Just find one that reads the way you like it, the way you're comfortable with. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30, he says, and people say all the time, that, you know, God's finished with the Jews. He's not going to help them anymore. Deuteronomy chapter 44, verse 30 says, when thou art in tribulation. Well, there have always been in tribulation. And all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. God's not finished with the Jews. Here we are in the latter days, and who's God dealing with right now? He's dealing with the Jews. The church is dead. This church in America is dead. When you read about what Christians are going through around the world, how they're persecuted over and over again around the world, I was reading this morning about North Korea. There's a lot of Christians in North Korea, and they're suffering. They're willing to go to prisons. They're willing to die for their testimony of Jesus Christ. And what do? We're worried. We don't come to church because we have to wear a mask. Or the government tells us that that you have to stay 6 feet, so spread out. I mean, we're such a wussy society. We are. I mean, I get sick of it. We shouldn't fear anything as Christians. We should be bold. I know I'm speaking as a man, and I know it's harder for a woman, but men, man up. As we used to say when I at work, cowboy up. Bear it. Do it. But he says, in the latter days, if thou wilt turn to the Lord, it's all conditional. Everything is conditional. Your salvation is conditional. You accept the Lord. If you don't, so be it. God's not going to lose any sleep over it. You need Him. He doesn't need you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. When we get to the next verse, I've titled this, The Incredible Jew. And the Jews, if you study their history, they've had a rough way to go. But so is the Christians. When the Jews were persecuted in this world that we're living in, the Jews were persecuted. When the Christians were killed, the Jews were killed. It's like we have the same God, so they hate the same God, so they go after us. Psalms chapter 44, verse 17. All this has come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. You say, well, how in the world does that work? Whenever someone repents and asks God's mercy, God forgets. Everything you've done in the past, it's over with. It's gone. My sins are gone. I've been redeemed by the blood. Even though I'm a sinner, when God sees me, I'm sinless. And we're going to get to that here in a second. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of the dragon, covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten thy name, O our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth and the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore, hidest thou thy face, forgettest our afflictions and our oppressions. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. That's a wonderful prayer. And that prayer will be prayed during the tribulational period by the Jews. Now, we get to the best part. Psalms chapter 45. The Lord Jesus Christ, in this chapter, is preparing to return and save the nation of Israel and to set up his heavenly kingdom. But before he goes and comes back on his white horse with his head with many crowns, the first thing he has to do, he's got to get married. And guess who he's going to marry? He's going to marry us who are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's exciting. Don't get depressed about what's going on in this world, because this is just the beginning of glory. And we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. But that's not all. We got a great future ahead of us. And we're just about to go over that precipice. We're about to go through that threshold. We're about to be called up. And I told the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, help me not to cry. Because when you look at what's going on in this world, and the suffering, and the cruelty, the wickedness, I can't help but say, I don't like this world. So while the tribulation's going, in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, when you look at what's coming in during the tribulation, when the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and killed millions of Jews, when Titus of Rome came in 70 AD and killed millions of Jews, when Hitler killed over 8 million Jews, that's just a warm-up to what's going to happen during the tribulation. The Bible says that two-thirds of the Jewish population will die, and one-third will go through the fire, and they'll come out on the other side. There's a lot of suffering to be done. If you want to read that, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. But because of time's sake, we need to go. Verse 45. My heart is inditing a good manner. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is an open pen of a ready writer. David is excited. He's thrilled to see this whole thing set before him, to write down on a piece of paper the most glorious day of the whole Bible. And believe it or not, the most glorious day of the whole Bible is not your salvation. That's a shock to most people. The most glorious day in the Bible is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rides into the eastern gate and he takes hold of this earth. And he rules and reigns it for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. That's the glorious day. That's the most talked about. Of all the 1,800 prophecies in the Bible, most of them are about the day of the Lord. David has a tongue like a ready writer. And that goes along with what in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, for the prophecy, or 2 Peter chapter, I said 2 Peter, didn't I? For the prophecy came not of old time, but by the will of men, or by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here the Holy Ghost is speaking through David, and he's excited, and I don't blame him. Verse 2, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll see a little bit of Song of Solomon in here. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured unto thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. Verse 3, God's preparing to return. Verse 43, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with the glory of thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. The Lord is getting ready to come back. He's preparing. He's got a sword. This goes along with Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head was many crowns. And he had a name written no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Most churches have gotten rid of the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God. Verse 5, thine arrows are sharp in thy heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. If you haven't received Jesus Christ and you think you're going to make it through the tribulation, don't look for mercy. Look for judgment. Look for wrath. Psalms chapter 7, verse 12, if he return not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instrument of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns, is not going to show mercy. If you receive the mark, if you worship the beast, you might as well count yourself dead. And believe me, that's coming. It's on its way. The EU is already coming up with a mark, and pretty soon it's going to be everywhere. It'll be 3.5 years after we're gone, though. Thank God. Verse 6, thy throne, O God, is forever. Here comes the wedding. And ever. The scepter of thy right hand is the right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Don't you love a God like that? I wish we had leaders like that. Wherefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloe. That's the Lord Jesus Christ right there. Cassia. And out of the ivory palaces, thereby they have made thee glad. The king's daughters, plural, were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. When you see the plural, the virgins plural or the daughters plural, it's not talking about us. When it talks about us, it's singular because we're one body in Christ. So who are we talking about? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful name. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. This is what I'm looking for. At the time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to a name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Psalms chapter 45, verse 10. Here we go. Hearken, O daughter, singular, and consider thine ear. Forget also thine own people. She's not a Jew. And thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is the Lord, and worship thou him. Now Jesus Christ said the same thing when he was on this earth. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 35, he says, forget about your family. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the biggest mistake Christians make. Compromise. You don't compromise with this book. You don't compromise your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You shouldn't care about what anybody says, not even your own dad or mom or sisters or brothers. You should go with the book. The biggest argument I have is when you're trying to lead someone to the Lord, well, my grandmother didn't believe that. I said, I don't care what your grandmother believed. You know, God doesn't even care what your grandmother believed. What's the book say? Look at this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 35, I am come not to set man... I am come to set man at variance against the father and the daughter against the mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Jesus Christ is telling the bride the same thing the father is telling the daughter. Don't worry about your family. Worry about your service to the king. God will take care of your family. Don't compromise. And another thing we need to start doing. When we have prayer meeting, we need to start praying for the lost. Hell is forever. Your illness is temporary. Especially if you're a born-again Christian, it don't mean nothing. But the souls of men will rest in hell forever, and then they'll be taken out and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever, and the smoke of their burning will go up forever. We need to pray for the lost. We need to get down on our knees and pray for our loved ones. Don't rely on someone else praying for them. And the best way to get to handle on God is try a little fasting. You'd be surprised what that'll do for you. Psalms chapter 12. I love this verse. I love it. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Now this is all the family of God. There's been five dispensations, and there's eight family groups in God's family. But we are the most important as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, because we're the bride. No other group in the family of God is given what we will be given. We are joint heirs. We are His bride. And we will be His wife. And look at this. Look at this. The king's daughter, verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. When you look at this clothing, you'll think, well, she's got a nice little undergarment that she wears, and it's nice, you know, it's gold, you know. Oh, pretty, pretty. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your body. We're made from the dust of the earth. We're corruptible. We're waste material, is basically what he's saying. That's what dust is. It's waste material. Look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. You're made out of waste material. But when you go to heaven and you get that glorified body, it's going to be made out of gold. You say, well, how in the world are we going to walk around like this? No, it's going to be different. But our bodies are going to be gold. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Remember when John was in the book of John, he was being led around by this angel, and he was so impressed by what he was being showed, he got down and started worshiping this angel, and this angel says, wait a minute, I know. You get up, you worship God only. I'm one of your fellow brethren of the servants, the prophets. That should give you an idea of what we're going to be like. We're not going to be like some old, old person walking around like this, with the long beard, like the picture show on about heaven. We're going to be glorious beings. We're going to be representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be conformed to His image. When people see us, they're going to look and see Jesus Christ. We're going to be a reflection of Him. I'm excited. I'm getting old. My body's breaking down. And some of you are a lot older than I am. And you know what this new body means to you. You say, well, I don't believe that's talking about clothes. Well, let's go to the Bible and see what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 says, for in this we groan. And anybody that's old groans. You groan when you get up. You groan when you go to bed. You groan when you're at night. You groan because your body hurts. It's a process of getting old. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house. What's our house? This old flesh is your house. When Jesus Christ saves you, He saves your soul and your spirit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to have something different. You can't survive standing in front of a righteous God in this body. You'll vaporize. You've got to have something glorious, something righteous. You have to have something that's imputed righteousness. And that's what your new body is, that clothing that we're given. Look what it says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. So this clothing that David's talking about is not ordinary, everyday, throw in the wash machine clothing. It's a body. Like I said, there's not going to be anyone like the church. No one is told that they're going to get a body like this except the church, the bride. Psalms chapter 45, verse 14. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. This is your granted righteousness. You find this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So, to finish out the verse, it says, the virgins, her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee. These virgins are the Jews or the tribulational saints. the virgins, the daughters of Tyre, the king's daughters, and all this family of God is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. Who are these family members? And I've run out of time. The saved Gentiles before the flood. Adam, Noah, Methuselah. The saved Hebrews before the law. Job, Abraham, and Jacob. Jewish believers under the law, Moses to John the Baptist. Gentile believers under the law, Romans chapter 2, verse 15. A lot of people have a lot of problems with that. Church age believers, Acts chapter 2, to the rapture. Jewish believers in the tribulation. Gentile believers in the tribulation. And the millennial saints. There's a big family of God. But you're special. I know we don't feel special. Psalm chapter 45, verse 15. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter unto the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children. And thou, that thou whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. The Bible says in Revelations that we will be made kings and priests during the millennial reign. Kings and priests. We're going to have authority. And a lot of people say, well, I can't do that. You can in your glorified body. When we see Christ, we'll know all things. This is about a 2-hour lesson. I try to reduce it down to 45 minutes. But I want you to read 46, 47, and 48. And think. Tribulation, 46. Jesus Christ returns. 47. The millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. 48. When it talks about her, it's talking about the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. And he tells you to pay particular attention to the mansions or to the palaces. That's where we will live. They're not hotel rooms. They're not suites. They're palaces. And this is what we got to look forward to. Do we deserve it? Not a bit. Not one iota do we deserve it. But because Jesus Christ loved us and he redeemed us from the world with his own precious blood, God has granted, he's imputed his righteousness. You'll be made of gold. He grants you righteousness. You'll wear fine linen, clean and white. And you'll be kings and priests. Get a hold of that. It'll bring you through some hard times. And be ready. Be ready when he comes, because he's coming soon. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your precious and holy word. Lord, there's so much in this book that we'll never have time to dig it all out. Lord, every time I open this book, I just praise your name, Lord. And I just, Lord, we just need to fall down and worship you more and more as the days get closer. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be doing the things of God. I pray for the pastor or preacher that's going to preach this afternoon. I pray that you'll give him the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, don't let them leave this place until they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your holy and righteous name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.